your heart. I want to speak to you about the kingdom of God, being a kingdom person and having kingdom power. Amen. When Jesus walked on the earth, he cast out demons. And he said, when I with the finger of God cast out demons, the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven has come to you. Yeah. The kingdom of God is what Jesus was preaching. He went everywhere speaking about the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. He told us to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of your temporal needs for shelter and food and clothing will be given unto you. He said, as my Father has given me a kingdom, so give I you this kingdom. He said to his disciples, go everywhere and preach the kingdom of God. And he says that this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world, and then the end shall come. The Bible says that the end of the age, that Jesus will gather up his kingdom and give it back to his Father. Because his Father has given him a kingdom. One day when everything's completed, he'll give it back to his Father. He taught us to pray, just like the song we sung, our Father who is in heaven, holy is your name, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When Jesus came on the earth, he was more than a teacher. He was more than a prophet. He was more than an apostle. He was the king of a kingdom. The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ. And he shall reign forever and ever. He comes to bring a kingdom. When you get saved, you move from one kingdom to another kingdom. You move from the kingdom of darkness and the kingdoms of this world into the kingdom of God's dear Son. There is a kingdom clash taking place in this nation right now. There's a kingdom clash taking place in Israel and all around the world. It is two kingdoms that are bumping into each other. So open your Bibles with me to Hebrews chapter 12, where we read about the kingdom of God in the last days. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 26. At that time, speaking of the time when Moses and the children of Israel were around the mountain, it says, at that time, God's voice shook the earth. But now he has promised once more, I will shake not only earth, but also the heavens. The words once more indicate the renewing of what, or the removing of what can be shaken. That is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, say cannot be shaken. Let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire, a kingdom in your heart. Let's pray. Lord, we welcome your word to us today. We ask that it would touch us and motivate us and inspire us and prepare us for these days that we are in. We receive your anointing and your blessing for the preaching of the word of God. I speak it now. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. One day, the glory of the Lord will cover the whole world just like the waters cover the sea. It's not debatable. It's not up for discussion. It's absolutely definitive that Jesus will rule the whole earth. And when he does, he will set up his kingdom on this planet. It will be a kingdom of righteousness, a kingdom of glory, a kingdom of godliness, a kingdom of peace, and a kingdom of joy. It will be a place that will be filled with the good things of God and the order of heaven. When Jesus taught his disciples to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, It will absolutely happen. A lot of people are trying to get off the planet. They say, come quick, Jesus. I can't stand it anymore. Take me home. But Jesus is wanting to get on the planet. He's wanting to come down here and take control of everything. And it begins with the move of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is like this, and the kingdom of heaven is like that. Almost every one of the parables in his teaching are about the coming of the kingdom of God. He says it's like leaven in a loaf of bread that continues to rise. It's like a blade of grass that comes up and is fruitful. The kingdom of God is like a man who came and planted a fig tree in his vineyard and then came looking for fruit. The kingdom of heaven is like 10 virgins. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that's buried in the field. All through the scriptures, Jesus is preaching about the kingdom of God. And after he rose from the dead, you know, he met with his disciples between the time of Passover and Pentecost. He met with them and he taught them. The Bible says he taught them the things concerning the kingdom of God. He's talking about the government of God. Amen. He's talking about his Father's government, his Father's power, his Father's blessings covering the whole earth. Do you realize that the day you got saved, you became part of a different kingdom? You're not of this world anymore. You're an alien. You're a foreigner and a stranger on this planet. Your citizenship, the Bible says, is in heaven. And you have become part of a new kingdom. We read here in the book of Hebrews that everything at the end of the age is going to be shaken by God. Everything. If you're feeling some shakings in your world, it's being prophesied. And it will come in a way that is greater and more dynamic and more expansive than you can imagine. Over the summer, we did our teaching on the book of Revelation. And we saw the great judgments that come. And everything gets shaken. At the very end of the great tribulation, the Bible says there is an earthquake that will come on the earth, that will hit every city on the planet. It will be an earthquake like no other earthquake has ever happened before in human history. And it is what ends the time of the great tribulation. But it is symptomatic. It is a picture of the spiritual shaking. The earthquake which shakes the terra firma, the ground, is just a picture of everything in every realm that will be shaken. And the Lord says that everything will be shaken so that everything that can be removed will be removed. And we receiving a kingdom, he says, that cannot be shaken. He says, therefore, look to the Lord. Take hold of his grace, for our God is a consuming fire. Sometimes people are asking in prayer meetings, what kind of spirit is attacking a certain nation and causing such a shaking? Well, it just might be the Holy Spirit. Because he's the one at the end of the age that's going to do the shaking. And God's shaking is far more pervasive and far more dynamic than any shaking that demons can afford. And there's only one place for you to be when the shakings come all around you. And that is to be part of the kingdom of God. Because we have received a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Everything else will be shaken except those things that are part of the government and realm of God. Amen. So your place is to discover the kingdom of God. Remember what Jesus said. He said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. So there has to be a hunger inside of you, a searching inside of you to be a kingdom man or a kingdom woman. To say, my life belongs to God. I am under his authority. Yeah. I am walking as a kingdom Holy Spirit person. Now, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, is more specific than that. It's not just getting saved, because I've discovered that there are some people who have their ticket to heaven, but are not kingdom people, because the government of God is not in their lives. They sing Frank Sinatra's song, "I did it my way." And they continue to do it their way instead of God's way. And the kingdom of God is the government of God. That means you come under the directives of the Lord for your life. If you do, you will be an overcomer. You will be a success. You will be above and not beneath. You will find strength in time of weakness. You will find resolve when everybody else has given up. You will find an answer and a solution when things are impossible, because the kingdom of God is within you. I like what it says in the book of Romans. Please turn with me to Romans chapter 14. We read there in verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking. I'm going to stop there for a minute, because that might sound a little funny. The kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking. If you read the verses ahead of time, it talks about some people who are arguing about eating foods that were offered to idols and the kosher Jewish laws that some were trying to put on others. And I don't eat pork unless someone serves it to me at a nice, friendly pastor's dinner. But it's not a religious thing. I just don't think it's a healthy meat. And I remember what my grandpa Derek Prince said when somebody asked him, "If I eat pork, Mr. Prince, will I still be able to go to heaven?" And his answer was, "Yes, of course. In fact, you'll probably get there sooner." Well, in some countries, it's the favorite dish. Some places, that's the way it is. But the Bible says not to fight over those things. Not to make that kind of lifestyle the issue. You know, there are people who get on a religious bend to think that if they take care of all of the externals, it is a holy thing. And it is not. It might be a preference. It might be a healthy thing. But please don't put it on other people as some religious duty. Please don't push your legalisms on other people. And here the scripture says, it says don't do that. Don't overpower other people with your kosher laws or your ideas about eating and such. He says, it's in that context that he says, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. It's not about that. It's not about externals at all. But the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and approved by men. Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. So the kingdom of God, Paul is telling us here, has three dynamic elements. If the kingdom of God is in your heart, these three things should be there. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Now these are not just normal things. These elements supersede the natural laws of humanity. Amen. This righteousness is not one of your own, but you're called to walk in it. It could also be called holiness. The Bible teaches us to put on the whole armor of God, and over your heart, you're to wear the breastplate of righteousness. You're to have a pure heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Amen. This is a medical tech checkup this morning. You are in the house of Dr. Wins. And I want to diagnose a few of you today. and ask you some questions to see if you are healthy. If you are healthy, then you will have righteousness in your heart. You will have peace in your heart. The scripture says, let the peace of God rule in your heart. What rules in your heart? What pops up in your emotions and runs you ragged? What is it that you follow in your heart? The Bible says, let the peace of God rule in your heart. It also says that the joy of the Lord is your strength. Amen. And the joy of the Lord has to be bubbling up in your heart. But these are supernatural commodities. It's in the Holy Spirit. So if you're a kingdom person, it means that you're under the government of God. You've stepped out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of God's dear Son. And there's different rulings taking place inside of you. There's a different modus operandi. You function differently now because the kingdom of God is within you. And you walk in that kingdom and you seek that kingdom. While you get your ticket into the kingdom, as soon as you get saved, it doesn't mean that all the kingdom is inside of you. You might be in the kingdom, but now it's time to get the kingdom in you. Because you're not going to be able to fight the battles that you need to fight and stand up and be strong with the power of God unless you take hold of the kingdom blessings and the kingdom heart. So I want to ask you if there's a kingdom in your heart today. Is there a kingdom of God that's in your heart today? I love mature Christians for their ability not to be shaken. The Bible says everything can be shaken except a few grandmas. Everything can be shaken except a few grandpas. Everything can be shaken except for a few teens and young adults who have sold out to Jesus Christ. Because everything can be shaken. When was the last time you had a really heavy-duty shaking? Last week. Somebody says, I'm still there. Sometimes the shakings, they come up on our blind side. One day, it's as if everything seems to be wonderful. And then everything in our world seems to get shaken. It can happen in such a way that it comes from every direction at the same time. And you can feel deserted. You can feel weakened. You can feel absolutely empty. But if you're a kingdom person, you plant your flag. You set down your roots. And you said, I'm going to be like a tree planted by the rivers of living water. My leaf will not fade when the sun is shining and the wind is blowing. I will not be moved because I'm a kingdom person. Because the kingdom of God is inside of me. Now, while these are gifts of the Holy Spirit, righteousness, peace, and joy, the kingdom of God is not fighting about legal externals like eating and drinking, but it's about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. How do you get those things to increase inside of you? How do you grow a righteous tree? How do you grow a life of peace? And how do you have the joy of the Lord when all the house is falling down around you? Well, I want to give you some recommendations today that will help you to work with the Holy Spirit so that the righteousness of God will become yours. And the peace of God will become yours, and it's not conditional upon circumstances or what you're having to face. And the joy of the Lord can be yours in any season, at any time, at any place. Do you understand? If you have righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, you will have the kingdom of God inside of you. Because he says the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. So if those things in the Holy Spirit are inside of you, then you can face anything. You can go through anything. You can endure anything and win anything. So the issue is, how do you get those things inside of you when it's tested? When you are really up against the wall and you're fighting for your life? Well, I want to tell you. How do you get righteousness? Let's talk about this first of all. We know that all of these things are a gift from God. You're righteous because Jesus died for your sins. You have the peace of God because Jesus said, "My peace I give unto you." But what can you do to allow this to grow inside of you, to become very tangible, so that the unshakable kingdom of God is in your backbone, it's in your heart, and in your mind? Concerning righteousness, there is a key. Let's take a look at the teaching of Jesus. If we want more of God's righteousness to be very evident inside of us, come to Luke chapter 18. And let's start it reading in verse 9. To some who were confident in their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. "God, I thank you that I am great. God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector over there on the other side of the synagogue. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get." But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you the truth. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." If you want the holiness of God or the righteousness of God to move in your veins, there is a requirement. It's called humility. So if it's like, if you're going to build something, if you're going to build this pulpit, you have to get the raw material. And the raw material to build this is wood. I guess it looks like oak. So you got to chop down an oak tree. Take the oak tree wood down to the lumber yard and get it sawn into planks, planed to make it smooth. And then you've got to put this thing together. The raw material is the wood. The finished pulpit, the finished product is the pulpit. The raw material for righteousness to increase in your life and for you to walk in that is humility. Where you cry out to God. You say, "Lord, I need you. I don't want to be a proud person. I know I've come so far by the grace of God, but I want more of you in my life. I don't want to get to a place where I'm just comfortable at where I'm at. I seek your face. I want you to work in all the parts of me." It's interesting that Jesus tells a story and he makes the hated tax collector the hero. If he was here today, he might, I don't know who he'd pick, but he'd have a pick that everybody here would identify as, "That's a real bad person." Jesus would pick that person, and then he would say, it's not where he's coming from, or even what he's done in the past. It's his present behavior that I'm looking at. and his present behavior, if it's one of humility and calling out to God and crying out to God, I will put my righteousness on that man. See, there's two things that are always going together. Is it the fact that you got saved and said a sinner's prayer that fixes everything? Well, it sure fixes some things. But the Bible then says, now work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work inside of you. So his righteousness is imparted to us at the cross. But now if we want to walk in the good of that and have more and more of God's divine nature and his holiness in our lives, the secret is humility. Humble yourselves so that God may promote you. And he'll put his righteousness on you. So the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. In order to get more righteousness in your life, humble yourself. How do you get more peace in your life? Because it's really easy to lose your peace. When you get shaken and you get rattled and everything in your world falls apart, it's easy to lose your peace. We go to the book of Hebrews for a good answer. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1, it says, therefore, since the promise of entering his rest, rest is another word for peace. Let me put the word peace in place of the word rest. Therefore, since the promise of entering his peace still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have had the gospel preached to us, just as the children of Israel did. But the message they heard was of no value to them, because those who heard it did not combine it with faith. Now we have believed, we who have believed, enter that peace or that rest, just as God has said. Now go down to verse 9. There remains then a Sabbath peace, a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's peace also rests from his own works, just as God did from his. The secret to having peace in the middle of a storm is to have faith. That's why the Lord says, cast your care upon him. How many of you like fishing? Good. The other half will just have to imagine. When you fish, you do something called casting. You put a heavy weight on the end of your fishing line with a hook, maybe a worm or some other bait, and you set your reel so that it's going to let the line out, and then you whip your fishing rod, and that sinker goes flying, that weight goes flying, hopefully 50 feet or more. And it goes flying through the air. Well, that's what you're supposed to do with your worries. Yeah, when you get it out there, cut the line. If you don't give it up, if you don't cast your cares upon him, you will come under some things. I've told the story before, but it's been a long time, so I'll tell it again. My dad was my mentor when I was a young teenager, and he was pastor of the church. And I remember when I left high school, I went to work at a pharmaceutical firm making drugs for hospitals. And I had to travel about 45 minutes on the bus in downtown Toronto to get to this pharmaceutical firm where I worked. And it was pouring rain, and I had packed my lunch, and rush hour traffic was there. And I thought, my goodness, I'm going to be late, and the boss is not going to like it. I was just starting out in this job. My dad says, I'll drive you to work. Come on, get in the car. So I got in the car, and we're driving along, And sure enough, there must have been accidents. The rain was coming down and the wipers were going. Whoosh, 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 whoosh. And I'm looking out the window and looking at my watch and I'm thinking, I'm definitely not going to make it to work on time. I am in big trouble. My dad was watching me out of the corner of his eye while we were pretty well in stop and go traffic. And finally, he spoke up and he said, Peter, you're going to be late. That means you lost once. If you get upset about it, you lost twice. I never forgot that. Worry is fear. And fear has torment. It is the exact opposite of faith. If you want the peace of God, you have to have faith in Him. It's like when you get saved. You got to come to the front and say, Lord, I give you everything. Forgive me of my sins. You know, when a person is getting saved, they've got to give their life to God. A lot of people resist because they know what it means. It means they've got to give everything. Some people say, no, I want to still keep my own life. But the Lord says, if you keep your life, you lose it. But if you give it to God, then you gain a life. And so it is with all of your problems. You do what you can to rectify, to make it good. You look at your own life and to see if there's some reason why this problem is in your life. Is it partly you to blame? Then you repent from it. You apologize for it. And then you do your best. But after doing that, you've got to take that heavy load and give it to God. It's called faith. It's very practical. You cast it. You cast your cares upon Him. You say, Lord, I can't carry this anymore. It's too big for me. I can't make it work. I can't solve this problem. I give it to you. And you put it down. And you say, Lord, help me never to pick it up again. And I'm trusting you. I give it to you, Lord. I ask for your mercy, for your care, for your blessings. I receive your care over my life. No matter what happens, I give it to you. And then the peace of God will come to you. I've had it happen to me so many times in my life where I was blindsided and fear came upon me. One time that really stands out was the first time I went behind the Iron Curtain to one of the Soviet bloc countries. And I was traveling with a seasoned Bible smuggler. It was my first time going. He was many, many years older than me. And I knew he had Bibles stashed somewhere in the car. And we start to think about our trip. And I remember, I had little children at the time. I was on my way to get my passport photo done for the trip. And I thought, what if I get caught and get thrown in one of those Soviet jails? What will happen to my wife and what will happen to my little children? And I just started to think like that. It was like a cloud came on my car and a fear came over me. And I began to be in torment over this issue, thinking about the things that could happen. But I pulled the car off to the side of the road. I said, that's not from God. That's a spirit of fear. I break that in the name of Jesus. I had a prayer meeting right there in the car. I said, I will not come under that fear. Lord, I give my family to you. I give my wife to you. I give my children to you. If something happens to me over there, I put them into your care. Then I said, now, devil, get off my back. I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is my shield and my strength, and in Him I trust. And I will have no part of this spirit of fear. I break its power and I trust the Lord for my future. Amen. And that thing lifted instantaneously. The peace of God came. How do you get righteousness? You get it by humbling yourself before God. How do you get peace? You get it by trusting the Lord and stepping out in faith, giving it to Jesus. I remember when we did actually go through the Iron Curtain. They stopped us. They brought us inside a little room with mirrors all the way around. We knew that many eyes were watching us as we sat there in the room for an hour. Well, they pretty well tore the car apart. They didn't find the Bibles. We went in and had a wonderful mission. But I needed the peace of God. If you don't have the peace of God, you will be a mess. You can't get away from some trauma and difficulty in your life. The Bible tells us, in this world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. That's the word of the Lord. So you take hold of the peace. You need to be a kingdom man. What is ruling in your heart? The Lord says, let the peace of God rule in your heart. Who's ruling in your heart today? Amen. Who's ruling there? Who's in control? Who's pushing the buttons? Go ahead. If you want to be a kingdom person, you'll be unshakable. It's time to become unshakable. I think there's a movie, The Unshakable. Is that The Unsinkable? Same thing. So righteousness comes when you humble yourself. Peace comes when you have faith. What about the joy of the Lord? If the joy of the Lord is this finished product, what's the raw material that we've got to find to have the joy of the Lord inside of us? Well, come with me to the scriptures. Let's look in 1 John chapter 1. It says in verse 3, 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. How do you get your joy to be complete? It's called fellowship. Fellowship means to spend time with somebody, to share life with somebody, to share things that you have in common with somebody. First of all, you've got to have fellowship with God. Then you've got to have fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ. You've got to have fellowship in the Holy Spirit. Then you have to be in fellowship with God's people. You're not meant to live a life excluded from the people of God. Amen. You're meant to fit with them, to be a part of a local church. Do you know why? The number one reason why we started Antioch International Church, because I didn't want to be a lone ranger. Because I didn't want to be traveling around the world and coming back to no home. Because I needed to be connected with the people of God who I could look in their eyes and they could look in mine and see that everything is okay. I need to have a place of fellowship. Amen. So that my joy will be complete. Yes. So that I can be a happy camper. Yes. So that I can serve the Lord with gladness. Hallelujah. If I don't do it with people, you might have found out that I am a pretty relational person. That I like to know you. I like to know your name. I want to know what your life is about. I want to somehow have a connect with you. And the more people, the better. Amen. I don't want this to be a cafeteria-style church where you just come in, pick a drumstick of chicken and some mashed potatoes and some greens, eat and go out the door. This isn't cafeteria. This is family. This is sit down and let's share the same bowl together. Amen. There's a joy that some of you knew a long time ago in another life, in church life, and you got burned. So now you go lightly as you go forward. You're cautious and more reserved. But the Bible teaches that if you want your joy to be complete, you've got to get in the mud. You got to get your hands in the mud with the people of God. You've got to have fellowship with the Father and fellowship with the Son and fellowship with His people so that your joy will be complete. You can't be a loner. You can't be a lone ranger. You can't be an isolationist. There's a lot of things that might be more entertaining than listening to me preach. There's a lot of things that might satisfy your soul more. But there's something that you need that the TV can't give you and the big screen cannot give you and playing some video games cannot give you and being out in a boat by yourself cannot give you. You have to have fellowship. I've traveled to more than 40 nations around the world and I've seen amazing landscapes, amazing sights. I've ridden on the back of elephants in tiger reserves. I won't tell you all the things that I've done, but I've done lots and lots and lots of things in many remote places. But I never like to do those things alone. Because life's meant to be shared. If you're grumpy, it's probably because you're not sharing your life with somebody. You might say, well, I want to be married. Well, it's not just marriage. That's a good provision. But there's a family that you're to be a part of. It takes work to be a part of a family. It takes service. It takes care. It takes extending yourself. It takes loyalty and faithfulness. If you're not supposed to be in this church, we welcome you to come and visit as often as you can. Then go and find a church where you can become family. But if you're supposed to be here, then let your loyalty flag be held high. Hallelujah. And work at this. Build this family. Because when you do, there's a joy. We just a little while ago, we were in Haiti. We took 20 of our folk with us. And three of our worship dancers, Wendy and Dina and Rachel. They had way more fun than they should have had. They had 12 Haitian young ladies that they were teaching how to do the worship dance. Most of the time that I went over to investigate what was going on, they were giggling like a bunch of schoolgirls. They were having such fun together, worshiping God and fellowshipping with each other. Same thing was true with the Vacation Bible School and all the workers involved in working with those 100 orphan children or destitute children. They had such a great time together. So the Lord says, our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son. And we invite you to come into this fellowship with us so that your joy may be complete. So three things can make you unshakable if they're inside of you. Because the Lord says He's going to shake everything. There's going to be such shakings like the world has never seen. But He says, everything that can be shaken will be shaken. But those things that cannot be shaken are kingdom things. The kingdom of God, it says, we receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And then it says, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. That's where the rubber hits the road. Do you have these things moving in your emotions. I know there's a covering over you that you got at the cross, but has it worked its way into your soul? Do you have the peace of God and the joy of the Lord and the righteousness of God on your life? If you don't have righteousness, you won't have any peace. Righteousness has to come first. But then the peace comes. And only then you're going to be able to have joy. It's like three steps. Righteousness, then peace, and then joy. Now just imagine if these three commodities in the Holy Spirit were in your heart. You would have a kingdom in your heart. An unshakable, unmovable kingdom inside of you. And then it doesn't matter what you have to face or what you have to go through. You will have an unshakable government. The government of God inside of you. So today, the Lord says, seek first. Not second, third, or somewhere down the line. Seek first His kingdom and righteousness. And all of those other things will get into place. How do you seek that kingdom? Righteousness, peace, and joy. That's your focus. How do you get them? Humility, faith, and fellowship. Let's pray. Please stand. It was really hard for me to watch my own children in the teen years especially, or in the formative years when they were at school and they got picked on by bullies, and they got mishandled sometimes even by teachers. We had one teacher that grew up in a Nazi youth, and she was still a Nazi. And she knew that we were Jewish. And my son got really mishandled in her class. It was really a difficult thing for me to watch some of those moments in the lives of my children. But I had to give them to God. I did my best to teach them and train them, and then I had to give them to God. I don't like it when I hear about some of the troubles and difficulties that some of you are facing in this church. Some of you are really facing some horrendous battles, some terrible warfare. I wish I could jump in front of the train and save you from it. I wish I could. But I can only teach you to take hold of the same God that I've taken hold of. Because His grace is sufficient for you. If you seek His kingdom, you let His kingdom into your heart. The righteousness, peace, and joy of the Lord will take you through anything. Now just open your hands now. Let's pray a prayer of dedication. Say, Heavenly Father, thank you for saving me. Thank you for bringing me to your kingdom. Now I want to be a kingdom person. Put the kingdom of God in my heart. And in my soul, help me to humble myself so that I might receive the fullness of your righteousness. Help me to have faith so that I might have peace. Help me to enter into fellowship with you and your people that I might be filled with joy. I want to be unshakable. I want to be kingdom through and through. I give my life to you for your blessings and your purpose to go forth in my life. I receive it now in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask the prayer team to come up to the front. I want to pray over you, and then we're going to dismiss you. I ask you to sign up some papers back there. For the Christmas play, get the information about the shoebox. If you want to receive mailings from us, go to the CFM table there and get your name on the mailing list there, and we'll be glad to send you some monthly teachings. Now let me pray over you. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your family, your people who are here. I speak the blessing of the Lord over each of you. I release the power of the Holy Spirit to fill you and to go before you. I speak the goodness and the grace of God upon you, upon your children, and upon your grandchildren. I release open doors for God's blessing on your life. I speak it over you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.